The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Food can be a divisive thing. We know this if any of you have ever been at a holiday feast where more than one family has gathered together. There might be conflict over whose favorite dish is going to be the dish of choice at the meal. In my own family, we have divisions amongst us between those who like spicy food and those who do not, between those who prefer coffee and those who drink only tea. But perhaps the most heated argument of all is over the herb cilantro, which some in my family love and say it tastes fresh, and others say is disgusting and tastes like soap. Food is a divisive thing even among families. But food is also a place where people come together. Eating together changes conversations. It can deepen fellowship. It is an equalizing place we all need to eat. And somehow in eating together, bonds can form and grow. There's a church in San Jose called Holy Family. And I had the pleasure of doing some research with them when I was in seminary. They're a multilingual, multi-generational, multicultural community. And when they first began their merger, food was a real source of conflict. Who was bringing food and how much? What kind of food was there going to be? And yet, food has become for them something else. Recently, I was at a potluck at this church, and the table was spread with every kind of homemade, authentic cuisine. There was American food and German food, Filipino food and Mexican food, all laid out, a symbol of the wealth and connection and diversity of this community, a symbol that food had become not a point of division, but a core part of who they are as a community. The story of Peter and the vision that he has of this sheep being lowered from heaven is a really important story. A clue to that is that this is the second time it shows up in the book of Acts. First, we hear it as it's actually happening in the narrative of the story, and then in the reading today, we hear Peter defending himself before the Christians in Jerusalem, telling them specifically why he did what he did. There were two parties in the church at that time. Those who believed that you had to become a Jew, that you had to follow Jewish law in order to follow Jesus, and those who believed that if you followed the commandments of Jesus, that was good enough. Christianity was born out of this tension. Christianity was born out of this story this morning. And it's a major theme throughout the book of Acts. How is it that the Gentiles came to be accepted as they are? How is it that the gospel came to be relevant to all people? God's action is present in this story, reaching out to Peter and later to the church itself, always helping the church to understand that more and more acceptance, more and more diversity is the way of the Spirit. Separation is a human urge. It's natural to make distinctions between groups of people. This is how we form families, groups, clubs, organizations, congregations, communities, states, nations, even. It's how we organize ourselves, how we make peace, how we make connections, how we build culture and history. And yet the urge to separate ourselves from each other is also a dangerous one. It gives rise to the idea that one group is better than another, that one people is more worthy. And that can lead to blame and fear. Walking down that dangerous road, we come to dehumanization, the denying of people's basic rights, oppression, violence, and in the history of the world, we have seen Holocaust and genocide. It's a long road from separation to genocide, but one that this country has walked, one that this world has walked. God makes it clear to us. There is no such thing as clean and unclean. Everything that God has made, everyone that God has made is good. God reaches out to Peter on that road on his way to baptize a household. God reaches out and says to Peter, "Make no distinction between them and us." God's love is for everyone. The Church of Holy Family, their process of becoming multilingual, multicultural, did not happen at once. It was a long process of relationship building. It started with two separate congregations. One was Tagalog speaking and one was English speaking. Neither had a church of their own, and both were renting space from the same church. And so they saw each other coming and going. While they saw the distinctions at first between them, language and culture, they began to understand, we are both Episcopalian. Why is it that we are worshiping separately? Slowly, relationships began to develop. They went to trainings on how to communicate across cultures, how to build relationships, and food became a place of gathering. They met at each other's homes for meals and stories. They met at the church. Slowly, over a period of 5 years, they entered into a covenant relationship to see if a merger was possible. I met them at the end of this 5-year process, and what they explained to me was that the love that bound them together now made it impossible for them not to merge. There was no longer a distinction between them and us. They were one family before God. On the night before Jesus died, he gave a new commandment to his followers, that they should love one another. This commandment comes directly after the betrayal of Jesus and directly before Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him. It's bookended on both sides by the difficulty of love, how difficult it is to love each other. And yet, Jesus encourages us that it is not our own love, indeed. It is his love, how it is that he has loved us. This is the love to pass on, a love that is accepting, that crosses barriers, that speaks the truth, that reaches out in healing and feeding and listening and sacrificing oneself. This is the love of Jesus that is within us. When I asked the Church of Holy Family at this moment of merger what it was that they felt called to do next, they said, "We want more diversity. We have been so blessed by this difficult process of coming to love each other that we want to reach out into the community, and we want to bring all kinds of people to know the love that we have for each other and for God, the love of Jesus that is within us." It's a messy process, but the potluck is delicious. Love is transformative. And so as we follow Christ's command to love one another, the church should become and has become in each age more inclusive, more welcoming, more reaching out across barriers that society has erected. So how in our own lives might we take up this call to make no distinction between them and us? St. Cross is a community that loves food, do we not? We gather together at table and at fellowship, constantly reaching out to one another in love and relationship. We feel called to interfaith work. Many people from this congregation showed up at a local mosque for a prayer service after the shootings in New Zealand. During our season of Lent, we had visitors from different faiths who came and taught us about their faith, and we ate together, and in that conversation, we saw God in each other, we saw faith in each other, our hearts were moved and stretched. Each one of us, I dare say, in our own lives, has family members and friends who we consider to be very different from ourselves. Jesus calls us to lean into these relationships, to pray for each other, to look for ways in which love can blossom, in which listening and fellowship can blossom. But first of all, and perhaps most of all, we must remember that we are loved. The love that we share is not our own. First, we must love ourselves, in order that we may love one another. Remember that you are clean. You are made in God's image, and you are good, just as you are. God loves you without measure. Christ loved us that we might be able to love one another. Freely received, freely given. Beloved, love one another. Amen.